Who are you? You have a name.
You have some sense of who you are, but really, in the final analysis, as we dig deep, who are you? Had Radio Scotland on early this morning as I was doing my paper run, or Andrew's paper run. But as I was there going round, I had Radio Scotland on. There's always an excellent programme on between 7 and 8 in the morning. Can't imagine that a whole lot of you are up listening to it, but it's well worthwhile. And this morning there was an interview with a young man from the way up in the Western Isles. And he was describing how at an early stage in his life he had suffered terribly from depression. Now, thanks be to God, he has come through that. And now he is living life to the full. Do you know he is now in the planning stages and is ready to launch a rowing expedition from New York to Stornoway on his own? Rowing from New York to Stornoway. I hope for his sake the wind is going in that direction too. But as he described where he had been earlier in his life, in the depths of depression, he described how at one point it all got so bad that he just had to leave. He had to leave home, had to leave work, had to leave everything, friends. He just walked out of life and he disappeared. And for a period of time, his family didn't know where he was, whether he was alive or dead. And then he came home. And bit by bit, his life was being rebuilt. But I was fascinated because as he described that process on the radio this morning, he said, I was gradually, bit by bit, learning who I was. I wonder if you know who you are. A couple of weeks ago there was another news story which broke and I found it hugely interesting. There's an Argyll connection in this story. It concerns two young guys, a Dundonian and a guy from Argyll. And in the early 2000s, they were both enrolled at Dundee College studying graphics. But it so happened that both of them were more interested in music, and in particular in rap music. And so they formed this rap duo together and started recording music. But as they put their music out to studios and record labels, they got nowhere. And the record executives were telling them, time and again, rap with a Scottish accent. No one is going to buy that music. And they got doors closed on one after another. So then they had this idea. They recorded some songs and went down to London to meet another record executive. And this time they put on American accents. Simple as that. They just started speaking with American accents and did it very well. And they were welcomed with open arms. And the record company said and realised, this is a great act. We've got our hands on gold here. So, having started the illusion that they were American, and having been signed by this record label, it sort of became incumbent upon them to keep up the pretense, which they did. But it became much more than just speaking with American accent, because as questions came up and as conversations developed, they had to have a story. So they invented a story of where they were born and brought up and who they were and what they'd done at school and everything. And they moved to California and they became these two people, stage names, Syllable and Brains. And they became for a couple of years hugely successful. They toured with Eminem and they were involved with Madonna in some recording, right at the top of that side and that part of the music industry. A guy from Arbroath and a guy from Dundee pretending to be someone else. And then it all got too much. There's now a documentary film out, which you can see, which documents the story, and there's a book. And the guys talk about how it just became too much. They couldn't go on living anymore, keeping up 24/7 the pretense of being someone else. They actually became really messed up in here. Really, I forgot who they were, and it all cracked up. They had to quit. And that's them. Never mind syllable and brains and Californian skater punk rap music. It's just Gavin Bates from Dundee and Billy Boyd from Arbroath. But they got right up there in the musical ladder by being someone else. Until it all was too much. You see, in the end, they had become totally confused about who they really were. Trying to be someone else, while all the while inside, knowing that it wasn't them. Do you ever do that? I mean, I take it you're not, in your spare time, rap artists with recording contracts and all the rest of it. But in more subtle ways, do you ever do that? Do you ever pretend to be someone else? Or, to put it another way, are you ever guilty of being one person in this setting, let's say a church, and in another setting, you're actually totally different? You're living kind of two lives. It was only a few weeks back that one of our MSPs was outed for years of domestic abuse. One thing in public, one thing in the parliament, and clearly in his domestic setting, somebody completely different. Do you ever wear a mask? Do you ever appear to be someone else? It's a question of integrity, and it's a question of identity. Way back in 1978, a much better group than Syllable and Brains posed the question, who are you? Who are you? And another point for debate, would this group be even better than the Who, the Beatles, than George Harrison, the guitarist of the Beatles, as he got more and more involved in seeking spirituality and so on? He said that the most important question anyone ever has to ask is the question I put to you this morning, who am I? Who am I? I wonder if you know the answer, if you have a grasp of the truth of the answer to this question. For Christians, the answer is caught up in this verse that we read from Paul this morning. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new is here. This little phrase that I've highlighted, in Christ, it occurs in Paul's writing again and again and again. And it's the way he has to talk about his life now. He understands that now his life is caught up in what was the life of Christ, in the living of Jesus, in his death and rising again, in all of that, in its significance, in its consequences, in its benefits, Paul understands he has a part in that. And so he says, I am in Christ. It's a wonderful little phrase, only two words, but it describes what we mean when we say that we are Christian. It means we are in Christ. We are caught up in him, wrapped up in his life, death and rising again. To be a Christian is to be in Christ. And what I want to say this morning is this, when we pose the question of ourselves, who am I? When we begin to think about our identity, then if we are Christians, then that identity, that who am I, will be wrapped up in Christ. I find my identity in Jesus. Not male or female, but in Christ. Not rich or poor, but in Christ. Not Scottish or British, but in Christ. Not straight or gay, but in Christ. Not healthy or sick, but in Christ. To some extent, all these other categories say something about me. But ultimately, my identity is not fixed by these other categories, but by in Christ instead. There are many ways in which you might describe it. There are many aspects to your character and your person, all of which in some way add up. But the truly testing one, and the one ultimately that matters, is whether or not we are in Christ. And you alone know the answer to that question. This is trusting in Christ. This is committing myself in life to following Christ. This is how I'm identified. This is who I am. This is the answer to that question. Who am I? I am in Christ. And therefore, I am you. We are new creations. Whatever was has gone, and whatever has to come is here. We begin on our new life in Christ. Now, to just take this on and round it off, this has implications for ourselves, our own self-understanding. When I look in the mirror and I'm asking myself those questions about really who I am, then my answer is there, it's in Christ. That matters. It matters for what you do when you get up in the morning, to know that you are in Christ. But there's more. Because this great truth of what becomes possible for us as human beings is granted to us as a truth not to be kept for ourselves, a truth rather that we are commissioned to share. He has committed us to be the messengers of this truth. The truth is that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. In other words, that Jesus came to make people, to allow people to be friends with God. This is the great truth of the Christian faith. And we, friends, have been entrusted with that message. Not to keep to ourselves, but to share. If you go back to about 1951 and you look at the census figures for Scotland, you'll find that over 90% of people describe themselves as belonging to the Christian faith. This week, the 2011 census results were published. That figure's down now to 54%. 54% of people in Scotland to consider that in one way or another they belong to the Christian faith. Even, to be honest, I think that figure is kind of ridiculous, because there's only 2% of people in churches on a Sunday morning. So that leaves a whole 52% who have a vague notion of Christianity, but it's not really working out in practice in any way. This is the case. This is the country we are now living in, which has moved step by step, little by little, further and further away from a true belonging to Christ. And we as a church are commissioned and are given the responsibility of once more engaging the nation with the Christian truth, with the gospel of Jesus. And here is Andrews, it's why we're trying to be as creative as possible and find as many ways as possible to reach out. It's not ours to keep, it's ours to share. This afternoon, we're engaging with Message Church. As we've told you, we've started a strategy church, new people that we can share gospel truths with. Next week, Champions Quality Club. We're coming up against children who've never heard any of this. Lots of them. Our responsibility is to share these truths. And then at the end of October, special Sunday we have in the year, Back to Church Sunday. Not only for those who once were and are coming back to church, but for people who have never been. And this is one of your opportunities, a key opportunity that you have to think, is there someone I can bring to church? Is there someone that we can bring into our environment that they too might hear something of the truth of Jesus? You've got a month. We're giving you plenty of notice. You've got a month to think to yourself, who might I invite? Who might I bring with me on that day? Relative, friend, neighbour, work colleague. Think about it now, pray about it now. Will there be opportunity for you to bring someone on Back to Church Sunday? And then beyond that, as we move further into the autumn, we'll be running our Alpha course again, which is all about sharing the essential truths of the Christian faith. Who am I? I am in Christ. So what? It means everything. And I'm commissioned to share it. Let's bow our heads.